Psalm chapter 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Father, I praise you and thank you for these wonderful testimonies and for your presence, for these songs that minister to our heart. Thank you, Lord, for the good service this morning, for what you did for Amber, what you did for Channing, what you did in the lives of other people in this service this morning. And I pray, Father, that your presence would be here tonight to help us focus our minds upon the Lord and upon his word. And I pray that you'd do good to the congregation of the people of God. Lord, walk among us tonight, and we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach tonight for a few minutes on From Disappointment to Delight. That's the movement we see in this psalm. Psalm 13, David goes from being disappointed to being delighted. And sometimes we feel, like David, that God has disappointed us. That he has, not that God's ever failed us, you know, we can't ever say that God's ever failed us. But I expect there's a whole lot of us that can say that God disappointed us. That we expected God to do something that God didn't do. And our disappointment with God sometimes stems from our lack of understanding of God's ultimate plan for our life. Any time that we are disappointed with God, it's not God's fault, it's ours. The weakness is here and not there on God's part. David was in despair. The enemy was exalted over him. And the situation was long-standing. Notice four times that David asked the question, how long? How long wilt thou forget me, Lord? How long wilt thou hide thy face? How long shall I take counsel? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? So it seems like that the circumstances he was in was something that was long standing. David wanted to know, Lord, how long is this going to last? Sometimes we feel like that God did not come when we thought he should. Sometimes we think God didn't act when we thought he should act. And sometimes he acts in ways that we do not expect him to act or fail to act when we think he should. And David's disappointment is manifested in these questions. Lord, how long? How long, Lord, before I see an answer to my prayers? This disappointment with God is intensified when we experience tragedy, heartbreak, after we've consistently obeyed the Lord in our life. Sometimes we think that if we'll just obey God, and some people leave this impression, that if we'll obey God, that if we'll live for God and serve Him, that our life will be trouble-free. But there is no life trouble-free. I'm telling you, brother, the Bible teaches us that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that's the way it is with us all. I don't care how high you are, how much money you've got, how important you may be. Everybody's life is marked by disappointments, by problems, by troubles. We may hide it. We may hide it, you know, behind a smile. But I'm telling you that everybody experiences trouble in life. It's a common thing among men to experience trouble and problems in life, and David was no exception. David also experienced problems and troubles in life. Sometimes we think, Lord, we could understand this if it happened to a thief or if it happened to a murderer, but why did it happen to me when my life has been committed to God and I've been serving the Lord? The crises test the things that we've been taught and the things that we have believed about God. And they'll come to all of us. Sometimes we experience things like child being born with a handicap or deformity, or a child that we've trained for God and we watch that child go astray. Or there's some tragedy that takes loved ones away from us unexpectedly. All of these things happen to the people of God. And for young people, sometimes life doesn't make sense. And they don't experience the success that they envisioned in life. And they see their friends doing great. And they wonder why life hasn't come together for them. Why friends are getting married and they can't seem to find a companion. And why others are getting great jobs and they can't seem to make things happen. So we're disappointed sometimes that God hasn't produced the kind of life that we think we ought to be experiencing. But I want you to notice how David handled his crisis. In my text, the Bible teaches us that David never quit praying, in spite of the fact that his disappointment was long-lasting. He never quit praying. Verse 3, he said, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." David never quit praying. Brother, I'm telling you, the devil would love to stop your praying if he could. Get you to think that somehow God's given up on you. But if we'll never quit praying, always keep trusting in God, no matter how difficult the circumstance may be, never quit praying. This is what Paul said. He said, pray without ceasing. I'll tell you what kind of life the Lord wants to build in you. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't ever quit praying. Don't ever quit rejoicing. Don't ever quit giving thanks to God. The devil can't handle a man who's always rejoicing in the Lord. The devil can't handle a man who never ceases to pray. The devil can't handle a man who's always thankful for what God has done in his life. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You want to defeat the devil? Then I say, go ahead and rejoice in the Lord. You want to defeat the devil? Keep on praying. You want to defeat the devil? Keep on praising God. Keep on giving thanks to God for what God has done in your life. Every good gift comes from above. And don't ever forget what God has done. And keep on giving thanks to God. David never quit praying. He never quit believing in the mercy of God. Notice in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. How long, David says, my enemies triumphed over me. Problems and troubles abound in my life. But he said, I have trusted in thy mercy. Oh, David, he understood that God was a God of mercy, that though the Lord tarry long, but he will not fail. He will come through. God is never too late. God always answers prayer. And this man believed in the mercy of God. Brother, you know, the devil would try his best to convince us that God is no longer merciful toward us. Hide from us the mercy of God. And sometimes we feel like we fail the Lord, and the devil tries to get us he tries to hide the mercy of God from us. But David said, in the midst of my trouble, I have trusted in thy mercy. He never quit believing in the mercy of God. When David failed the Lord and sinned against God, You know, it was a crisis in his life. He was a man that had been a man after God's own heart. And he failed God. And when he failed God, and God pointed out his sin through the prophet Nathan and said, "Thou art the man," David crumbled before God and repented of what he had done. And Psalm 51 records his prayer of repentance. And in that prayer of repentance, David sought the Lord like this: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." You know, there are sometimes we need to focus on the judgment of God. There are times we need to focus on the wrath of God. But there are times we need to focus on the mercy of God. And this was one of those times that David, in order to receive forgiveness, in order to have faith enough to recover, he had to focus on the mercy of God. And sometimes when it seems like that God has forsaken us and our trial just keeps on going, we need to focus on the mercy of God. And this is what David did in this Psalm 13. He said, "I have trusted in thy mercy. I will not get my eyes off of the mercy of God. I have trusted in thy mercy." Thirdly, we see that David never accepted his situation as being permanent. Notice in verse 5, he said, "I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." And in verse 6, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." David understood that even though this trial was long lasting, it wouldn't last forever. And there would be a time, "My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." Right now, I'm under a load. Right now, I'm asking how long. But I know there's coming a time that my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." David understood that he was not permanently parked in the valley, that he was just passing through the valley, that he was on his way to another mountaintop. And brother, we got to have this kind of faith in God, that God has not left us in the valley. We are not permanently parked here. We are passing through this valley. And God is going to bring us out, and we'll rejoice in his salvation and sing unto the Lord again. Oh, brother, in the midst of our valley, we can dig a well of refreshing in the valley where we are. But we understand that we're not permanently parked here. We're on our way out of this valley. God is going to bring about deliverance. Praise God. And David believed that. He never accepted his situation as being permanent. Look at the man Job. When Job was afflicted from head to toe with boils, when he lost everything that he had, all of his wealth, all of his children, when his wife turned against him, told him to just curse God and die. Listen to what Job says in Job 16 and 11. "God hath delivered me to the ungodly, turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. Set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder, doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defile my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping. On my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in my hands." He would have been easier for him to understand if his hands had been soiled with sin. But he said, "It's not for any injustice in my hands. Also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood. Let my cry have no place. Also now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth with for his neighbor. When a few years come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Brother Job was in great despair. It seemed like that his trial would never end. But there was an end to his trial. And in Job chapter 42 and verse 10, we read this. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The New Testament refers to the trial of Job like this. In James chapter 5 and verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Here's a man that went from great disappointment to great delight. And brother, I want you to hold on to God in the midst of your trial, in the time of your valley experience. Hold on to faith in God. And remember what God did for Job. He brought him out and blessed him greater than he ever had been blessed before. You know, there's other people that were disappointed in the Lord. Notice Martha and Mary. When Lazarus died and Jesus came and Martha went out to meet him and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She was disappointed that Jesus had come too late. But Jesus told her, Martha, thy brother is going to live again. Oh, she said, I know in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life, praise God. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And this is the question he asked her. Do you believe this? Oh my, she said, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. She expressed her faith in him, even though she was disappointed that her brother had died. She still retained her faith in Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. Boy, it wasn't long till Jesus was standing outside of that grave praying and saying, God, I thank you that you've heard me. And spoke to that man in that grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he woke up, walked out of the grave. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And here is Martha and Mary, who had been weeping and crying. And now they're rejoicing and shouting because Jesus changed their disappointment to delight. And brother, I'm telling you, he specializes in that. I tell you, Jesus specializes in that. Changing our disappointment into delight. You remember the two disciples on the Emmaus Road on the day of resurrection? They're going to their home. We don't know who these disciples were. I think we have the name of one of them. It may have been a husband and wife. They're on their way home. And they're talking as they walk along. And a man joins them on their road, on the road to Emmaus. And he asks them, why are you walking and why are you so sad? And they said, well, haven't you heard? And they told about Jesus, how they trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And now he's been crucified. And they said, we've heard strange things today. Certain women went to the tomb. His body was not there. And as they walked along, Jesus began to explain to them the scriptures. When they got to their house, Jesus made out like he was going to go on. And they pleaded with him to stay and have a meal with them. And he did. And as he broke bread in their house, their eyes were open. And they realized It was Jesus. It was the resurrected Son of God. Well, He disappeared. But they had already seen Him and been convinced, this is Jesus, and He really is risen from the dead. They had walked slowly, mournfully down that road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But after they saw Jesus, they turned around and went back to Jerusalem to tell His disciples that they saw Jesus. And they weren't walking mournfully nor slowly. They went back with a bounce in their step because they'd seen Jesus was really risen from the dead, and He changed their life from disappointment to delight. Hallelujah. I'm praying God will do that for somebody here in this service, that God will help us to go from disappointment to delight. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we don't understand the trials of life. Sometimes we can't make sense of the things that are happening in our life. And we feel so disappointed because things didn't turn out like we thought they should. But I'm telling you, God is still on the throne. And He's able to turn our disappointment into delight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my. We sing a song sometimes. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to be discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Praise God. Oh my, He's done it over and over again. God has turned defeat into victory, disappointment into delight. God knows how to work when nobody else does. Hallelujah. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano tonight. God will make this trial a blessing. God will change our disappointment into delight. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God He specializes in things thought impossible. When it seems like nothing else will work, God knows how to work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Maybe there's somebody here in this service tonight. You're going through one of those times when you're asking questions of God like David in Psalms 13. Lord, how long? How long will the enemy triumph? How long will this trial last? How long will I have to endure? God wants us to be like David and never quit praying. I'm telling you, when we quit praying, the devil's won. Don't ever quit praying. And don't ever quit believing that the same God that brought us through that last one can bring us through this one too. Don't ever quit believing that God is greater than our problem, greater than our troubles, bigger than any problem we've got. God is greater. Let's stand together. Altars are open. God, in rivers You think are uncrossable. God, in mountains can't tunnel through. God specializes things thought impossible, and He can do what no other power can do.